The coronavirus isn't the only problem America is facing right now. Last year, a record number of people died from drug overdoses, roughly 71,000, according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. And this year is on track to set another record. Most people are dying due to fentanyl, a synthetic opioid that often comes from China. The Trump administration promised to stop the flow of fentanyl into the United States, but NPR has found trafficking has actually increased. NPR addiction correspondent Brian Mann joins me now to talk all about this. Hello, Brian.
Hi, Tanya.
Brian, you've reported that this synthetic opioid fentanyl has surged in states like California and Arizona. Why is it surging specifically on the West Coast? And remind us of this drug and exactly why it's so addictive.
Yeah. So fentanyl has been around for a while, street fentanyl. It's this incredibly addictive, chemically made version of opioids. It's sort of like morphine, but it's 50 to 100 times more powerful. And for a long time, one wrinkle, one good bit of news was that it didn't spread very much in the Western U.S. Largely, that's because it didn't mix very well with the kind of street heroin that people suffering from addiction in the Western U.S. tend to use. So there was sort of a way to stop it coming in. But the last couple of years, researchers have found that more drug smugglers are bringing fentanyl into these communities, and they're selling it so cheaply that people are beginning to switch over. I want to introduce you to a guy named Jake, who I interviewed in Phoenix, Arizona, on the street. I actually met him while he was on his way to buy more fentanyl.
I used to shoot up heroin, and then when I got out, I just started, you know, smoking pills because that was the thing that was around. It was so easy to get pills, so I just started smoking pills.
So basically what he's saying there, Tanya, is, you know, that these fentanyl pills coming north from Mexico, they were cheaper than heroin, easier to get, and so now his addiction has changed.
As I mentioned, a lot of this fentanyl comes from China. The government there banned the export of fentanyl last year under pressure from the Trump administration. Has that helped?
Yeah, NPR looked really closely at this, Tanya. And what we found is that Chinese chemical companies that were exporting fentanyl have instead begun selling what are known as fentanyl precursor chemicals. These are the raw chemicals that are used to make this drug. And what these companies have done is adapt. They've taken to using social media to sell directly still into the United States. But the bigger change, and this is something that the Drug Enforcement Administration is also raising alarm about, is that these Chinese companies are selling directly to drug cartels in Mexico. And so more and more those drug cartels are using their supply routes, their street markets, to pump fentanyl into more of these cities, like Phoenix, like Los Angeles, like Seattle. So while direct shipments from China did drop, what we're seeing is this whole new deadly pipeline that's been created in its place.
Meanwhile, Purdue Pharma, the makers of OxyContin, settled with the Justice Department for more than $8 billion. That deal was approved this week by a federal bankruptcy judge. A lot of that money is supposed to go help fund treatment programs and other efforts to mitigate the opioid epidemic. I mean, could it help? Is this really enough?
Yeah, this is interesting. Of course, Purdue Pharma really involved in seeding this opioid epidemic back in the late 90s with the sale of OxyContin and drugs that sort of started people down this deadly path. And now the question is whether this company can route enough money out to communities to pay for drug addiction treatment programs, homeless programs, all the things that are needed to help with this opioid epidemic. And communities we're talking to say, yes, they desperately need this money. They need as much help as they can get. But it's important to remember, Tanya, that the cost of the opioid epidemic is now calculated in the trillions of dollars. It has devastated so many people, so many communities. So $8.3 billion, it sounds like a lot of money, but everyone we talk to say it is a drop in the bucket.
I mean, and just a side note to ask you, where is this money coming from? We know Purdue Pharma is in bankruptcy.
Yeah, this is a really complicated wrinkle, and it's very controversial. Purdue Pharma is in bankruptcy, and so the idea that this bankruptcy judge approved this week is that the company will be reinvented as what's called a public benefit corporation. It'll essentially exist to generate profits from opioid sales those profits will then fund drug treatment programs, right? And so that's a relationship that a lot of people, including many state attorneys general, a lot of members of Congress, they think is profoundly dangerous and unethical. It essentially will put all of these communities that have been poisoned by opioids into a long-term dependency relationship with this company and its profits to pay for rehab and treatment. And so, yes, if this $8.3 billion ever materializes, a lot of that money will flow directly from future sale of pills like OxyContin.
Okay, so there have been no criminal charges filed against the members of the Sackler family who own Purdue Pharma. They pocketed as much as $13 billion from the sale of opioids. Under this agreement with the Justice Department, they've admitted no wrongdoing, and they're giving up around $225 million of their personal wealth. How are people involved or impacted reacting to that?
They're not happy. I mean, this, remember, Tanya, this opioid epidemic now has sort of one family viewed as being right involved at the epicenter of it. The Sacklers created Purdue Pharma. They marketed OxyContin aggressively. And now, under this arrangement as it exists, they will give up a tiny fraction of their fabulous wealth. I should say that there are a lot of state attorneys general who say they're not going to go along with this deal. They're still trying to sue the Sackler family directly. And the Justice Department does say that criminal charges against members of the family are still possible in the future. Remember, tens of thousands of people have died in overdoses linked to OxyContin. But a lot of the legal experts NPR has been talking to say they really don't expect to see the Sacklers brought up on criminal charges. They think that's very unlikely.
That's Brian Mann, NPR addiction correspondent. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tanya.